The Doug Peterson Show. Star JP Shadrick and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Peterson Show starts right now.
Welcome in. It is the first Doug Peterson Show of the 2023 season here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Glad you're along with us. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. We're about 10 minutes away from head coach Doug Peterson inside the Hyundai studio, inside the Miller Electric Center, the cocoon inside the cocoon, if you will, for Jaguars Radio and Jaguars Media. Good to see you, Logs.
Good to be seen. Good to be seen. Happy New Year?
Yeah.
Happy season. Happy football New Year.
Yes, that.
Yeah. It's that time of year.
It is. Training camp is here. Jaguars are two practices in. They're on the field again Friday and Saturday, day off Sunday. And then the first day in full pads is coming up Monday. That's when you'll see a lot of the big work in the trenches start to develop, and that'll take a little time of its own. But, hey, 2 days in, Trevor Lawrence, the offense, that's what a lot of eyes are turning to. The first day especially, Calvin Ridley really showed up, showed out. Day two, some drops from some receivers, not as crisp, but to be expected. But that first day out on Wednesday, Trevor Lawrence to Calvin Ridley, look out.
Yeah, and it was constant. It was exciting. And then watching what Calvin Ridley was doing kind of after the catch, a little bit of the movements that he had was fun to watch.
He's different.
You know, and then today, the offense starts out. You got a one-on-one opportunity with Travis Etienne kind of on a little quick out and go, and Josh Allen's trying to cover, and that's what you call a mismatch.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. And Trevor throws it in there perfectly to Travis, and he's off to the races. I mean, those are the things that you love to see with this offense. And then, you know, on the defensive side of things, you're like, hey, wait a minute now. We don't want to see too much of that.
On the defensive side, though, I mean, they're out there, too, and there's not a lot of new personnel, at least frontline personnel. A lot of the guys that they've invested in the last couple of years, draft equity, free agent dollars, they're counting on those guys to step up, and it's early in camp, but there's a lot of camp to go.
Well, I think on the defensive side of the ball, there's the obvious ones that you want to see take that next step, you know, from Muma to Devin Lloyd to Trayvon Walker. And then in the back end, you're hoping somebody can really rise up and show themselves as a viable third, maybe a fourth corner. And I think that the defensive coaches are going to get a little creative, maybe even with the safety position, to get more safeties on the field, maybe with the corner situation is what it is. But you want to see the development from within, because right now that's really the only development and improvement that's going to happen is from within, because there is no help on the way at this point of the season. You are pretty much going to be stuck with what you've got, which is not a bad thing. And you can improve your team slightly maybe with some other cast-offs from teams as the cuts are made or maybe trade. But this football team needs to improve not only – from a personnel standpoint, but I think the coaching staff is going to be able to take some great strides as well in their second year.
Yeah, second year. There's only a couple of new faces on the coaching staff this year. Most of the guys stuck around. There was a very minor turnover, but they've got a baseline of what they put on tape last year. The base offense, let's start on that side of the ball, is in. Trevor Lawrence and all the weapons and the coaching staff and the play caller can build upon that. So it's a step in another direction for this offense to just build upon what they did a year ago.
Well, and it's much like, you know, if you're in college or in high school, you know, you start out with basic math, you work to algebra, and then it goes to calculus, et cetera. I mean,
I was told there would be no math.
Well, and just like, you know, when you go to college, you have, you know, 100 level classes, and they go up to 500 and 600, 700 level classes, you know. So, you know, this offense and Trevor Lawrence, they're now advancing to these classes that are higher level, which allows them to learn more about some of the flexibilities of the offense. It gives them the ability to maybe change plays. It gives them the ability to maybe change some routes on a play in game. You know, so it's going to put more pressure on defenses this year than it did last year, because the quarterback will have that flexibility from Doug Peterson, Press Taylor, and the offense as a whole.
And I'm sure at some point, may not come even this year, there'll be a point where Trevor just kind of runs it, right? I mean, he's not just maybe calling plays, but like a practice. Like out here, there's a point where Peyton was just like running things.
Right. And, right? Well, and
may not be there yet.
And one of the areas I think you'll see significant improvement is no huddle, 2-minute drill. Okay, now Trevor knows the offense. That's he knows right. the plays. He can probably call plays at the line of scrimmage without even thinking twice now compared to last year, whereas last year he's still trying to learn it. And so these things are kind of the natural progression if you have a smart quarterback, and Trevor's a smart young man, and he's going to be able to make significant advances this year just because of his familiarity with the offense and the offseason work that he put in. And he's a dedicated player. You know, he works hard. And so I'm looking forward to watching that. But the improvement's going to come from that, but it's also going to become very apparent that the personnel on the offensive side of the ball has been improved. You know, you've added draft picks that I think that are going to be immediate contributors. I think Anton Harris is going to be a starter right away, you know, making sure there's no injury there at right tackle. Tank Bigsby is going to be a contributor right away as a running back. And then you've got the tight end, Brenton Strange, I think is going to be the number two tight end with this offense, Evan Engram being the number one. But Strange is a great space blocker. I think Doug Peterson and the offensive staff are going to have an absolute ball. I know a lot of people aren't talking about him, but Brenton Strange has some abilities that are going to make this offense have a physical element to it, but a physical element to it while being in a spread formation.
Yeah.
And that's going to be special. You know, and so now all of a sudden you've got three wide receivers that you love with Kirk and Zay Jones and Calvin Ridley. Christian Kirk is going to be I think more comfortable than ever because he can really play in that three wide receiver set in that slot position. So it's going to be fun to watch how these coaches have all these different components and are going to end up working them in a game and how those game plans will look, because they're going to have some defensive coordinators on their heels not knowing exactly how they're going to play the game.
And coming up in just a little bit here on the Doug Peterson Show, we'll hear from Christian Kirk and get his thoughts on, there's one football. There's all these playmakers. What is the answer when they walk in every day? We'll get the answer of the answer coming up from Christian Kirk. I caught up with him a little earlier this week. When we return, though, head coach Doug Peterson joining us in the Hyundai studios for the first time in the 2023 season. We are off and running in training camp at the Miller Electric Center. It's the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Doug Peterson Show from the Hyundai Studios at the Miller Electric Center. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson. Another training camp, different facility, but training camp all the same. Good to see you, Coach.
Hey, good to see you guys. Yeah, this is beautiful. Got a great studio right here. We're excited to be in this building, the Miller Electric Center. Been a lot of hard work, you know, behind the scenes, obviously getting this building ready to go, but we're excited and players are excited and training camp's off and running.
It's amazing how everything in this building just flows towards football, and which is what it should be. I mean, it's amazing that, I mean, there's no amenity that you don't have for your football team right now.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that I'm most appreciative of is how well this building is laid out for the players. And it's everything's on the first floor for them. You know, they can get to the classrooms, they can get to the team dining, they can get to the auditorium, the weight room. Everything is right there. They're kind of centrally located in our building. And as you mentioned, there's every amenity that they want in this building. It free flows, a lot of sunlight upstairs for the coaches, which is a good thing to have, and we're just excited to be in it.
You mean you didn't like the Bat Cave of the old?
that was rough. My first few weeks over in the stadium was something to get used to, you know, not being able to have a window and looking outside. I just sat last week before camp started just watching it rain, you know, and that's you take things for granted sometimes.
The ramp up schedule early in training camp, this is the first week of that. So each day you can kind of build up towards it. How challenging is that from a coaching perspective? You want to get them going faster, but the CBA has that in place for a reason. Full pads go on early next week.
Yeah, you do things for a reason. And, guys just show up on Tuesday and they report, but they're traveling from all over the country. They've been flying or driving, and You know, some of the guys might have got here early. So I do appreciate the ramp-in phase just a little bit. And then I can progress the practices from an hour and 10 to an hour and 30 a couple days. And, you know, tomorrow will be a day where we can put the spider or the shells, you know, underneath the jerseys tomorrow and still stay in helmets for a couple of days. But it's a progression. And, you know, the conditioning after practice, just trying to get their football legs and trying to get them in shape the best we can from a football perspective. So, you know, the acclimation, it's a little slow from a football side, but it's really good for them physically as we prepare for pads.
Yeah, I love the acclimation period. I'm not this grumpy old ex-player that says, they should go right into 2 days. I mean, it's smart. I mean, with today's athlete, especially the investment that you guys have in these football players where their bodies are essentially high-performance engines, I mean, it just makes sense.
It does. It does. And being able to – utilize, you know, the two fields that we have and the classrooms and the meeting rooms, all part of acclimate, getting them back acclimated to football in the meetings. But more importantly, we can continue each day to sort of introduce new things, ramp up a little bit. Again, it's all leading up, you know, to the first day of pads next week. And the guys appreciate that.
And one of the things that you can really analyze now, even though you're not in pads, is that 7-on-7 aspect of football, which is the passing game. And first impressions that I saw was your quarterback looks a little bit bigger than what he finished last year at. Is that something that you noticed? Or is that something that was intentional?
I think it's something that everybody sees. I think too, it's coming with age, with maturity with him. His body's growing, you know, he's still young, but that's, everybody develops a little bit differently in their stage of life. And I think he's at that point now where we're going to see a little bit of, you know, weight come on, you know, with Trevor a little bit, but he's throwing the ball extremely well. He's strong. Love his demeanor around the team, his leadership ability around the team, and really kind of picked up where he left off at the end of the year. And that's encouraging not only to us, but I think to the guys in that locker room.
And Press Taylor talked about this earlier today as well, having a baseline to work from on offense. Going into year two now, you're not installing the entire playbook again. You can just kind of start from where you finished, and that's a huge step in the right direction.
It is. It is. Year two is big that way, both offensively, defensively, and even on special teams, to be able to pick up and sort of plug our players back in. And it's kind of my messaging to the team the other night was just, guys, you know, we got to understand we got to hit the reset button, and we're starting over, and we're doing things differently from the standpoint of that, and understanding that, you know, what we did last year is great, but that's over, and we haven't done anything yet this year. We're 0-0 sitting here, and we must continue to put in the hard work and preparation to prepare for the regular season.
Yeah, hard work, preparation is never shorted, but one thing that is new for your football team this year, you have some new components. Calvin Ridley, Brenton Strange, to Tank Bigsby. I mean, these are components of your offense that are going to be new. And quite frankly, I'm excited to watch them play.
Yeah, we are too, as a staff. And you know, Calvin brings a level of energy, a level of excitement, enthusiasm in his route running. He's a long strider. He can cover some ground in a hurry. You know, you can just see the readiness by Calvin. He's so hungry to get back out on the football field from the time that he's missed, and just so appreciative of the opportunity to play football again. And you know, Christian's in a great spot, and Zay, and having Evan back now in training camp and getting him locked up for a few more years is tremendous offensively. And you know, you look at Brenton Strange, you look at Tank, you look at Anton, you look at these guys now as we put them in with that first unit a little bit, just seeing their athleticism, seeing what they can bring, you know, to our offense.
Yeah, to your point about Calvin, the first practice, if he stands out like that in an NFL practice like this, other players are like, whoa, okay, that's a different level of skill.
It is, and what I like about Calvin, number one, it's his way he approaches every single day. Every day is a new day, but every day is a day to get better. And he, again, he appreciates every moment he gets to practice with his teammates, and that's something I think that some guys take for granted until football is taken away from them, and that's what's happened to Calvin. And we're just so excited to get him in the mix and really to see where he can fit and kind of plug and play with our system and how well, like, he and Christian can work, you know, in tandem together, or he and Zay can work in tandem together with combination routes and all that, but big asset to our offense.
On the defensive side of the ball, I'm sure that you and your staff evaluated that extremely closely, like most staffs do, your postseason analysis. As part of that analysis, what did you find, and where do you want to go with your defense this year?
You know, the biggest thing I think that we came away with is you know, base defense versus sub defense, right? The five-man looks versus the four-man looks. And this is a passing league, and being able to get your best players on the football field at any given time, especially the pass rush, I think that's where we can make big strides this offseason or really going into the training camp is in the pass rush. And that was an area that we studied last year, and even though we're like a 34 base defense on base, you know, I think one of the things you're going to see is a little more four-man fronts. You're going to see more of the pass rush stuff, because you get in those second long scenarios around the league, and that becomes a high passing, you know, situation down a distance for teams. And so being able to do that and combinations of guys, and, you know, Trayvon Walker, you know, learning how to you know, put different moves together now going into his second year, being able to watch all of his tape from last year and learn from that. Josh Allen comes back. He looks a little bigger, a little thicker, and being able to, you know, press the pocket. And, you know, I look at, you know, with Devon and Roy, Fotokasi, I mean, these guys are all guys that can really play the interior spots and play it well. But those are areas that we looked at, even on the back end with combinations in the secondary, possibly playing more three safety, you know, maybe even three corner, whoever that might be, and providing more depth, you know, on defense. But those are all areas that we studied a little bit situationally. Got to get better in the red zone, got to get better on third down from a year ago, so we understand that as well.
Doug, thanks for the time. 2 days into training camp, but you didn't have to walk far. Same building, new place, a new studio, and we'll look forward to talking to you again on the Doug Peterson Show once the regular season begins. We're going to give you a few weeks off. How about
that? I'd appreciate that. Let us get into this training camp just a little bit. But this is beautiful. Love this building. Again, hats off to, you know, Miller Electric and Haskell for the hard work, the men and women that put this thing together for us. So we're excited to be in this building.
That's head coach Doug Peterson. Jags fans want customized Jaguars furniture for your home? Check out ZipChair.com and browse all customizable options. ZipChair furniture for fans. This is the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
This is the Doug Peterson Show, the first one of the 2023 season on the Jaguars Radio Network. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Our thanks to head coach Doug Peterson for stopping by. He goes about halfway down the building. That's where his office is. It's a big facility.
You got a good view from his office.
Yeah, he really does, of the practice field and downtown and everything. But coming to our corner of the building here and joining us, and we'll – as we said there, give them a few weeks away to get training camp in the books. The team selected the 53, all that, and we'll talk to him again, at least on this program. You'll hear from him a lot, but you'll hear from him in studio live with us starting week one of the regular season. So that's on into September. Well, I mean, between now and then, there's a lot of work to do, obviously. We're only two practices in, Logs. This is the ramp-up period, so as Coach just talked about, each day you can expand it by a few minutes, and then as the days go along, you can add shells or spider pads. It's what they're doing tomorrow. And then full pads can go on Monday.
Right, but by the way, spider pads are – I don't even know why they even have them. I mean, all they are is – it's really – no benefit. It gives you maybe a little protection if you bump into somebody.
Yeah, give us an explanation of what they are first.
It's like a web. It's like a spider web.
Oh,
so
there you
it
go.
Has different components, or it's not a solid pad on the shoulders. Mm-hmm. It's literally like a netting that's pad.
Okay.
That goes across the drapes across the top of the shoulders.
Got it.
In fact, years ago, they used to have those that went under the shoulder pads to give the players a little extra protection in their shoulders. And I don't know. I mean, it's totally useless. But and then they go to shoulder pads, I believe, on Saturday.
Maybe Saturday, and then full pads Monday.
And then full pads on Monday. But the contact will be there on Saturday. Because, I mean, once you get shoulder pads on, then you can go ahead and have, you know, the pass rush offensive lineman versus defensive lineman.
Yeah. You're
which
not
right
going,
now is not happening at all.
Yeah, you're not going low anyway in these kind of practices.
No. I mean, you could probably have an NFL practice all the time without – you know, pads, you know, in the pants, mm-hmm. so to speak, mm-hmm. just because of how of a controlled environment it is. Now, if you were working against another team, you'd want to be in full pads. But I think the acclimation period is fantastic. Yeah, I wish the league had a little bit smarter approach years ago. Just would have been being selfish, would have helped me out a whole lot, I think, and would have allowed me to go into the season healthier. And a lot of other players have played this game for a very long time, you know, because the reality is, you know, not to reflect on the old days, but the way it used to be, it was first day you had 2 days and it was 3 hour practices and full pads. And they didn't come off until you had a day off after a game or a practice that wasn't in pads after a preseason game. So it's certainly different, and it's so much better now. It's so much smarter. You know, I'm not one of these guys, oh, these guys aren't tough. No, these guys are tough. These guys are tough as nails today. It's just a much smarter approach on how they ramp up or acclimate the players into the season, into the training.
Well, you had to walk uphill both ways to practice.
In the snow. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was rough. Real rough. Junction, no water, the whole deal, right?
Yeah, you know, look, it's just a smarter approach now. You know, give an example, JP. I mean, we're looking at this amazing facility, and there's been facilities around the league for a long time. You know, the cafeteria here is incredible with many food options for the players and quality food options for the players. When I was in New York back in the late 80s, they didn't provide any food in the facility after training camp was over with, once you got into the regular season, which is crazy to think of, right?
What did you eat?
For breakfast, if you maybe had a bowl of cereal at home, or you stopped on the way in a deli and got a breakfast sandwich, or maybe McDonald's pancakes.
The hotcakes, come on.
Yeah, the
man.
Hotcakes, yeah. Which I like the hotcakes, okay? I'm a pancake guy. And for lunch, we would send the Hampton boys, which were the equipment room guys,
yeah.
And we'd send them out, and they would go and get deli sandwiches from local delis. There was no eating to win, performance, diet. I mean, there was none of that.
Eating to survive.
It was get whatever you could get.
Right.
So, and then I'll never forget. I mean, that all changed. It changed league-wide when Jimmy Johnson had the success that he had in Dallas, because he was the one that brought that to the NFL, the year-round training, making sure they're eating great food. I mean, Jimmy he's a Hall of Famer in my mind just because of how he changed the NFL and changed the NFL's mindset to what we see today.
Of course, training camp for the next couple of weeks. First preseason game logs is August 12th at the Dallas Cowboys, so travel day the day before that. And then the next week, the Jaguars head to Detroit for joint practices against the Lions for a couple days.
I'm a big fan of that, JP. Yeah. And let me just talk about that for a minute, because, you know, when you're in training camp and you're going against your teammates, you're going against the same body type, a guy who has the same tendencies and traits. It's good to practice against another team, and especially the Detroit Lions, who many view as an up-and-coming team and a team that's got some talent.
Could this be a Super Bowl preview?
I don't know about that. I'd be kind of stretching a little bit. But, I mean, it's good to work against other players that have other traits, other techniques, other different body types. You're seeing different schemes. It's a controlled environment. It's a way to get really quality work with your veterans in a practice environment. And then once you get to the games, you're going to protect some of those veterans.
And then week 3 of the preseason, August 26th, the only Jaguars home game of the preseason, the Miami Dolphins come north. And remember, there's no cutdowns on the roster this year until after the preseason.
Wow. I mean, that's a dramatic change. You know, for many years you had cutdown dates. You know, you have step down, you know, in your roster numbers. You know, you go from, you know, 90 to 75, and then whatever, and then down to 53 eventually, and now it's going to be one cut. But, you know, with the expanded practice squads, it's not as dramatic as it seems, though.
Multiple playmakers, one football. Wide receiver Christian Kirk says what they do when they walk in the door every day to keep everyone grounded. That's coming up next. We'll hear from Christian Kirk on the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
This is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. First one of the 2023 season. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. And earlier this week, I had a chance to catch up with Jaguars wide receiver Christian Kirk. That was on Wednesday after the first practice of training camp. There's a lot of confidence around this Jaguars offense. A lot of folks are picking this Jaguars team to go a long way. And I asked Christian Kirk why he's so confident in this 2023 Jaguars team.
I think because of, you know, the type of guys that we have in our group and just the approach day in and day out, spending time with one another off the field, and just the cohesiveness we have as a group, I think will hold us together, and it sets the tone. Everybody's on the same page, you know, when we come out here to be the best group, and that's our standard. And so, you know, when you have guys like that in a group to be able to push one in each other, and on days when another guy's not playing to the level of our standard, those guys are going to bring them with, you know, because you're only as good as your worst guy. And so, you know, for us, it's just attacking every day. And, you know, being able to scratch the surface of what we can be last year into this year, I think there's a lot of expectations from us to go out and, you know, perform at a high level.
Going into year six, how different are you feeling than you were, let's say, year one, year two in the NFL? Now you've been at this for a while.
Way different. I'm a little more chill on day one, you know, just taking it day by day, not trying to kill myself on the first day because I know it's a long camp. And, you know, just being smart, being efficient, making the plays when they come to me. But also, you know, honestly, this camp, just focusing more on being a leader, being a more of a vocal leader, and, you know, just teaching these guys and coaching these guys up to the level of our standard and what we do here. And, you know, pushing ourselves to be the best group in the league. That's our goal right now. So, it's definitely a different role. I'm enjoying it, and like I said, just taking it day by day.
Let's start with Ridley. Yeah. How different is he now all of a sudden with the route running and the stop-start ability? Everything he brings is just a different gear.
100%. You know, he operates at a different level of movement, as we like to say. You know, but just his explosiveness and to be able to have that on the outside, to be able to put a guy out there one-on-one and tear apart a defense, just adds to the dynamic ability of what we're able to do. Because we have so many different guys that can burn you in different ways, it's gonna be hard for defenses to prepare. But you know, for us, it's just, you know, maximizing our ability. But he had a great day today, and you know, I'm excited to see where he goes from here.
But back to the group now as a whole with him in it, and Ingram just signed his deal, so throw him into the mix too. There's one football.
Yeah.
We talked about that a lot last year. You guys handled that pretty well, it felt like. But it's all about the team and the offense moving ahead, just to keep everybody on the same page.
Yeah, you know, we said it last year. It's check your ego in at the door, and that's got to be the key. If you're going to have players like this, it's going to, you know, everybody needs to get their own. And, you know, when that happens, that's how you win football games. You know, one person's not going to win you a football game. There may be times where, yeah, one guy's going to get relied on and, you know, he's going to carry us towards that way. But, you know, when we get into the playoffs and we get into the nitty gritty and, you know, adversity starts to strike, we need everybody. So, you know, as a unit, you know, we need to operate that way and just kind of buy into what we're doing and keep our long-term goal in sight.
I don't know how much NFL Network or ESPN you watch or any of the preseason hype shows or any of that, but most of those you watch, the Jaguars are the favorites to win the AFC South. Do you guys buy into that? Do you worry about any of that stuff? Is there added pressure with that being the hunted team instead of the team that's up and coming like you were last year?
Yeah, you know, I think the only apprehension to it is, you know, guys looking into that and listening to that. You know, because last year we weren't even in the conversation. We were still in the conversation as being one of the worst teams in the NFL. And so I remember that feeling. I know all the other guys remember that feeling and, you know, the motivation, the edge that we had to get to the point to where we need to be, and we can't lose that. You know, Doug said it best yesterday in our team meeting. He said, you know, greatness isn't about what you did. It's about what you're going to do. And, you know, we can't listen to the noise. And when we win a couple of games this season, nobody's going to stand up and cheer loud for us. They're going to say that's what they're supposed to do. And so we just got to go out there and, you know, manage expectations and, you know, control our energy and what we do.
I think I can talk to Christian Kirk all day long. The full conversation available on the official Jaguars podcast network logs.
He's awesome.
Yeah, been at it for a while. Understands his role. Check your ego at the door. Some good quotes in there. And boy, the last one there from Doug Peterson in the team meeting says a lot.
And it was, what did he say? Greatness is not what you've done, but what you're going to do.
That's right.
And That tells me something, that the Jaguars are very fortunate to have a great leader in Doug Peterson, because when you talk about messaging, the messaging has to get through and be heard by the players. Then how many times last year did we hear the players echo the messaging that Doug Peterson was giving to them? And that's what you got to have. That's what leadership is all about. So it starts at the top. Great leadership by Doug. And then when you listen to Christian Kirk talk and about him wanting to be a more vocal leader, he's a natural leader, because you just listen to him talk and he's an excellent talker. But he backs up his eloquence with great performance. You know, that wide receiver group, they've got a new offensive position coach in Chad Hall. I mean, how fortunate is Chad Hall to have a group like this that has the maturity to, as Christian Kirk talked about, check the ego at the door when it comes to game time. And it's about winning, and it doesn't matter about how the individual performs, but how the group performs, and as long as they get that win. That's exactly what coaches strive for. And to hear that conversation, it just reveals so many different things with that one conversation that you had with Christian Kirk. And it just makes you feel good about where this team is and the direction that it's heading. And let me just send out a kudos to Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke, because you go back to last year in the offseason when they take over a football team that had a lot of disarray with a young quarterback that many viewed as being talented. The first thing that they did was surround him with the talent that we're talking about: Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Evan Engram. Guys that come to work every day. But it wasn't just the wide receiving group and the tight end group. On the offensive line, you ended up bringing in Brandon Scherff, leader.
That's right.
Okay, you got to have moments like that and transactions like that in order to change the culture. And so you got to give credit to Baalke and Peterson for what they were able to do, and ownership as well, because you know what? It cost a lot of money.
Yeah, because there were a lot of people around the league were scratching their head when that Christian Kirk contract came out.
And people were like, oh, he's overpaid. Well, you know what? He's not. I mean, if you don't have the support of ownership from a financial standpoint, none of that happens. So, I mean, a lot of revelation, I would say, in that conversation you had.
And we didn't even get into his role in the offense. I think we can get into that a little later in training camp, and we certainly will with Christian. Not the last time we're going to speak with him. When we come back, though, defense, pass rush, where do they find it? What changes on defense will they make moving ahead? It's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
The first Doug Peterson Show of the 2023 campaign from the Hyundai Studios at the Miller Electric Center. That just sounds good rolling off the tongue, I must say. It's beautiful new space. Glad you're with us on the Jaguars Radio Network. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman.
You know what I'd like to see about the Miller Electric Center?
What's that?
Is the electric bill for that indoor facility.
Big.
It's got these this big tube that runs around the entire circumference of the field, about halfway up the height of the sides of the building. Mm-hmm. And that is the air conditioning vent. And the air conditioning vent is probably wider than this table.
And this table
probably
is what,
about what?
6 feet wide?
It's about 7, maybe 8 foot in diameter. Mm-hmm. This big thing that runs all the way around that blows air out of all these holes. Ooh, buddy. That's a mighty good electric bill.
It's quite an HVAC system.
Yeah, and see, the secret is, JP, is when you watch practice, is to sneak on over there by those open garage doors by that indoor facility when it's blazing hot out and get a little bit of that cool air coming out.
I'll tell you what, the first thing that the media crew noticed was when we walked out there, practice the first day was on the field nearest the main building, was that sideline is in complete shade all practice long.
Yeah, and fortunately the practices in the morning are in complete shade.
Yeah.
Okay, if practices were moved to midday, you would not have complete shade.
Well, they so aren't right now.
Appreciate the schedule of a morning early morning practice.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate that. It's very nice. Right. It's all about the
appreciate
media's
him thinking of us.
Media's comfort is priority number one around here. Let me tell you, pass rush, defense, defensive backs, linebacker play, all of the above, three levels of defense. What's different looking about this group? Maybe you can't tell yet, but what do you think could be different? Doug touched on it just a little bit earlier. Maybe some more four-man fronts.
I think we're going to see more four-man fronts. Less, I think, trying to fool the opponent, so to speak, hand in the ground. We saw a little bit more of that towards the end of last season, and I think it's what's needed. It puts players in the best position to pass rush, and that once you get into second long and third and long, I mean, occasionally you want to fool somebody, but for the most part, it's about putting the player in the best position to win and not about fooling the quarterback into, okay, who's coming and who's not coming. I think it's going to be really good for Trayvon Walker. I think it's going to be good for Josh Allen. You know, and I think specifically about Trayvon Walker. You know, when you're a rookie, you're thinking so much about responsibility and where I'm supposed to be, and now I'm thinking about, okay, what pass rush move do I want to have? You want to get to the point to where you're just not thinking. Your body and your mind are just reacting. And in order to get to that, you have to have a very clear mind and a very clear objective. And four-man fronts, when you get into that situation, I think can provide some of that to the mind of a player to allow him to just get after it. I mean, Trayvon Walker, when he gets his head of steam going and he's decisive, he's a handful. I mean, he's as strong and, a big of a load as anybody that you can imagine on the defensive side of the ball. I think it will help everybody. It will help the pass rush, the edge guys, the guys that are inside. It will also help the back end because the pass rush will be better.
We'll come back in a moment and look at the schedule ahead for the Jaguars, including Saturday. A lot going on.
Kind of a special day across the league.
It is. That's just ahead. It's the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
We're back, baby, in the Miller Electric Center from the Hyundai Studios. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, the Doug Peterson Show for the first time in 2023. We heard from the head coach earlier. We appreciate him swinging on this side of the building. And we'll hear from him. We're going to give him a few weeks off. Training camp's kind of a busy time. There's a lot going on.
You think?
Yeah, I know. And we'll get him back week one, getting ready for the opener. And we'll get his thoughts on the Jaguars Radio Network coming up then. Well, there's a busy schedule ahead, of course, the rest of the week. But Saturday is a special day around the NFL in all training camps. They call it Back Together Saturday. And each team has planned events for Back Together weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, whenever those practices fall for the teams. The Jaguars Logs will, of course, have a morning practice. Miller Electric Center, of course, right here. 200 selected youth football players will be here, and there'll be some surprises for those
players.
Don't
say what the surprises
are
going to be.
Some great surprises, it looks like. I almost let it slip. And then some Jacksonville Jaguars legends will be in attendance as well.
That was a really, really good save, JP.
I almost
read it off of it, which would have taken the surprise away from Saturday for all of these youth football players.
Sorry, kids. No, it'll be fun. But that is a good crowd expected, obviously, on Saturday. A weekend crowd at training camp is always huge. So a lot going on. I'll host that. There'll be some great Jags legends there. So come check it out. I don't know if there's much available, honestly, in terms of space to come. But for the latest training camp information, jaguars.com/training camp, the site to go. And as you said earlier, Logs, it's a perfect setup for fans.
It really is.
Concessions, you got the team store, you got the big ass fans, you got everything you want.
I can't believe you're saying that.
Yeah, it's got everything you want.
I wasn't going to say that earlier, you made me.
You said it first. So
by the way, there's some other big news today that happened in the National Football League, and one of the reasons why we have not seen our friend this week, Mr. Tony Boselli.
Oh yeah, Tony. Yeah, what? I forgot about him.
Yeah, I know. You remember that guy?
Oh yeah, that guy. Where's he been?
We've been doing some Hall of Fame things.
Yeah, so he's gotten the Hall of Fame, and we forgot about him.
But look, I'm a big fan of one guy in particular that's up for the Hall of Fame this year. A big fan, and his name is Tom Coughlin. And I wanted to say, congratulations, Tom. He made the cut down to, I believe, 12.
Correct.
In the coaches contributors category. And he's got some very worthy people that are joining him in that 12. But I'm going to be rooting so hard for Tom to get in the Hall of Fame this year because he deserves it.
The other 11 outside of Tom Coughlin, Mike Holmgren, Frank Bucco Kilroy, Robert Kraft, Buddy Parker, Dan Reeves, Art Rooney Jr., Marty Schottenheimer, Mike Shanahan, Clark Shaughnessy, Lloyd Wells, and John Wooten. So congratulations to Tom Coughlin for making the move, at least into the semifinals. And there's a meeting on August 15th to select one for final consideration for the class of 2024.
Which that's a hard decision to make. I mean, yeah, it really is. And in the other category, you know, I believe Shannon Sharp, Albert Lewis, Joe Jacoby. There's some really good ones. And one of the guys that I'm a big fan of that's on that player side is Ken Anderson, quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. And if you look at his numbers, I mean, even comparing him to quarterbacks of today, incredibly impressive. And I'm a little biased because Ken was a longtime coach and guy that I got to spend a lot of time with. And he's one of my favorite coaches that I've ever had the pleasure of kind of doing a broadcasting job alongside. And I hope he gets in. I really do.
Seniors committee will meet August 22nd. They may select up to three seniors for final consideration as members of the class of 2024. And the expansion of that seniors pool was approved back in 2022 for the classes of 23, 24, and 25. We'll return in a moment with the upcoming schedule for the Jaguars. Training camp is underway. Two practices in, and this is the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Final moments of the opening Doug Peterson Show of the 2023 season. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, our thanks to head coach Doug Peterson joining us earlier in the program. We'll give him a few weeks off. He'll be back with us in week one of the regular season. Brent Reber, Max Hockman on the video side today. Joe Fortunato on the audio. Our thanks to Richie Clemens for coming in hot today right before the show to get us going. And hey, training camp's here, two practices down. Doug said it earlier, spider pads going on, and it just continues to ramp up. We're looking forward to full pads on Monday for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, and looking forward to really every aspect of training camp. And you know, the one thing you always want to see is for the team to stay healthy, and every practice that you get under the belt and there's not a player hurt, you feel good about. And then the work that's going to be happening in the future. You know, I'm looking forward to this football team going up against the Cowboys at in the first preseason game, the opportunity to practice against the Detroit Lions. You know, we talked about pass rush and how to improve it. Mm-hmm. This Detroit Lions football team has a really good offensive line. That's going to be really good work in training camp this year with Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell as the two tackles that they have.
Sewell, yeah.
Now that's great work. That's the kind of work that you want to get in the preseason. I'm glad that Doug is open to that because I think it's incredibly beneficial to all football teams and players.
And not just that, but the Jaguars' offensive line against that defensive front for Detroit, too. It goes the other way.
Yeah, and they've got some good players there on that defensive side of the ball that are very young. And so it's going to be a test. And, you know, Jared Goff will give him a test.
Yeah.
You know, he's a veteran guy. I mean, those are all things that you want to see in the preseason. And, you know, fingers crossed, everybody stays healthy and comes out of it, you know, intact, and so that this football team can accomplish what they have set in mind.
First things first, two more weeks of training camp before we even get to the preseason games. Logs, hey, we got it started. We'll do it again next week.
Happy football new year.
Happy football new year to you. For our entire crew and Jeff Lagerman and head coach Doug Peterson, I'm JP Shadrick. We will catch you next time. It's the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.